Now, we got a show to do, boys, so start fucking.
Hello, world. This is Chris Abalo's podcast experiment, and I am Chris Abalo. Welcome to the show. First show of 2021. We made it out of the hell that was 2020, and we're here to kick things off. Thank you very much for listening, for subscribing, for sharing, for following, all that good stuff. It is very much appreciated. And hope you enjoyed the clip shows from the last 2 weeks. Those were a lot of fun to certainly put together. And here's hoping that you got a lot of laughs. It was weird not doing the show for 2 weeks, so don't worry, that won't be a common thing. But maybe to wrap up the year seems like a good idea. And the other day, I did hear a song that says old acquaintances should be forgot, but I didn't heed that advice. So unfortunately, joining me once again will be Andrew Rizzitello.
Hi.
Jack DeFranco.
Hey, everybody.
And Ryan Taggart.
We're back, bitches.
That's right. The four of us to... kind of sort of recap 2020, but not really. Like, we used to do this a lot. We would recap kind of the previous year, but everybody knows what happened, so there's not too much to get into.
It was a constant barrage of negativity,
more or less. Yeah, there was always something to not look forward to in 2020, and we don't need to do another lap around it, frankly.
We're good.
So
we left it, we're out.
Wait, this is the first show. I have to make sure that, you know.
Yeah, what's going on with your hair?
Yeah, explain the hair, because, yeah. I mean, I'm digging it.
So we did it just before we get into it. Andrew has a new mic, as we could see in frame, and hopefully you can hear it as well if you're listening to the show. And
yes, this is a Blue Yeti Nano.
And we were doing
hopefully it comes through a lot cleaner than some of the other mics that I used where you're picking up the entirety of my household.
For sure.
Why don't you move your mouth a little closer to it?
It actually doesn't make that much of a difference. I mean, you can. Now, that's for the ASMR
back a
channel.
Yeah, the ASMR. That's for the Patreon.
Exactly.
Yeah, that's for the other podcast after dark.
And maybe. Well, that could be coming soon, because speaking of which, the big news today, January 4th, 2021, is the launch of the Chris Abalo's podcast experiment, Cape Patreon page. Yay!
Cheers to you.
Thank you. And to you guys, who will no doubt be contributing. I'll be strong-arming you and helping me put stuff out. Again.
Crowbarring.
Yeah, pretty much.
Don't have to ask me twice.
I'm going to be your shoehorn. I'm going to make sure, like, all right, you got to slide into this project. But here's the deal, just to run this down, because we are going to be doing, I'm sure this will be a separate video clip for the YouTube channel proper, but basically starting out with three tiers. There is the basic $2 tier, which gives you access to the Patreon feed. So there will be announcements like upcoming shows. I mean, generally, we know what show is going up Monday before it goes, like a couple of days in advance. So you'll know what it is. It's typically not announced on social media or anything, but you'll be given a heads up. So you'll have access to the Patreon feed, and that's just the tip jar tier. Say, like, we like what you do, keep doing it, want to kick in a little scratch per month and say, like, all right, here's $2 a month. The $5 tier will be access to the Patreon feed and bonus audio. Now, bonus audio could be extra shows, could be exclusives recorded just for the Patreon feed, and it could also be unreleased audio, of which there is a ton of unreleased audio. archive stuff from the only podcast that matters, which, unless anybody objects, I won't, you know, I don't see why we can't use. And,
No, use it.
Also, yeah, good. Like nobody's interested. So I just
they
throw
need
it
to
up.
Hear this. they need to see where this all started, honestly.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I think anybody, and that's kind of the idea, is like, since that show kind of mutated into this show, I say that more than evolved, because I wouldn't go so far as to say.
No, it definitely mutated.
Yeah, we haven't evolved. I'm not willing to say that.
No.
But if you are a fan of the only podcast that matters, and that's probably in part why you're tuning in now, then that will be also your gateway to the Only Podcast Matters fandom, in that there will be a bunch of unreleased stuff, because there's so much stuff that's been languishing in the digital vault that'll finally get released to the people who are actually interested instead of just putting out for the public to ignore.
How many terabytes are you sitting on right now?
Too many.
And stuff that we don't even remember doing half.
Seriously.
Of this
stuff.
Oh, I don't either.
Just fucking around one night and that's how it happened.
I'm finally, this coming week, I'm cracking open the box of my new computer, which I've had for like 2 months, just because there was always something I was working on. So I didn't open it because I didn't want to have to transition computers in the middle of a project, in part the two clip shows that went up in the previous weeks. And I just didn't want to take that risk of losing anything or having something get corrupted while transferring it to a new computer. So anyway, I finally am going to be getting to that. And I was consolidating folders and I found tons of stuff. I was sending you guys kind of bits and pieces of things that I found. And just folders of like, even unreleased, they're completely unreleased shows that are sitting in there. Series that never launched. Ryan is nodding and smiling in agreement. Like, yeah. Ryan did three episodes.
Don't I know it.
Yeah, Ryan did three episodes of a show that just never got off the ground, which is stunning because he managed to get three of them done. So there is stuff like that, where if you're interested in us in this dynamic and everything, there's a lot of that. But it could be exclusive shows. There's also a lot of pre-show nonsense from the now.
Probably, I'd say 65% of it's pre-show nonsense.
Well, now, especially as far as this cape run.
2 hours apiece, each pre-show episode.
Just about. Yeah. There are a lot of very long Zoom meetings, especially prior to getting into Shared Universe. We're doing all the shows on Zoom. And there will be a long warm-up leading up to the actual starting of the show, which was typical in our
style. They're like a diesel engine.
Yeah. We have to idle for 40 minutes.
Acceleration is slow, but once we get going.
Yeah, you're not stopping it.
Yeah.
You're not.
Yeah.
And Chris, don't forget to tell them about the nudes.
That's right. Yeah, you may get access to nudes, which is funny thing in the process of signing up for Patreon. You do have to say, like, do you have adult content such as nudity? We welcome nudity, but you need to let us know if it's going to be there.
Private message for prices.
Yeah, I clicked.
Yes.
I clicked no for now, but we're gonna see how it goes. We're gonna see how in demand this thing is. If it blows up, and we got 10,000 people. I mean, like we talked about in previous shows, I'm not unwilling to give the people what they want if they want nudity. Which, you know, if you do, God help you.
And if you got 10,000 people wanting nudes of us, that's some
there's
very
some,
lonely 10,000 people.
Listen,
there's a market though. People like chubby dudes these days.
10,000 people need a therapist before they come to us.
Yeah.
If you don't like the dad bod, you can't get the dad rod.
Yeah.
There's a lid for every pot, guys. What can I tell you?
The dad rod, huh?
And so the
base, my dad rod.
The base tier, the tier
the
point, that Ryan. That gives you all the fun
for like $4.99 a month.
All right, calm down over there. The base tier, which gets you all the stuff, which right now is the top tier. There'll be more added later with, you know, merchandise and live events and things like that. But that stuff's just not happening now. So the top tier is $10 a month. That will be bonus audio, bonus video, and also be doing film commentary. We're bringing that back. We're going to be doing a commentary on films again, which will be a monthly feature, at least once a month, but more than likely it's going to be once a month. And you'll still get the audio that the $5 tier gets, but you also get bonus video, behind the scenes video, all sorts of stuff. There will be more exclusives. The most exclusives will, as of now, be in the $10 tier. So there you go. $2, $5, $10 a month.
I do have a sign up question for clarification.
Sure.
Will you, with any of the tiers, be using the lens feature?
I don't know what the lens feature is, so feel free to clarify for me.
At least with, like we've discussed on previous shows, I am a Patreon supporter of the Whiskey Tribe, and they have the lens feature, which is kind of like a Snapchat in a way, because it's a little quick.
Then no.
Chris is going to say that.
It's like, you can just stop right there.
Yeah, we're good.
Sorry, I need to change my descriptive verbiage.
Andrew's muted.
It's quick. It's 30-second videos that you can take that you can update and give to your supporters on, whether it be background stuff or, like, again, because I only know of the Whiskey Tribe stuff, it's them showing you video of the updates to the distillery that they're doing in Texas right now. But it could be anything, like, for you, Chris, it could be like, oh, look, check my new setup out. Like, thanks to you guys, I got new mics, blah, 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 things like that.
Yeah.
Just to clarify, that's all.
There's people I follow on Patreon who do like the sell, like a video or like a motivational thing or like a photograph every week. One guy, so follow the Major Wrestling Figure Podcast as the bare minimum Brian selfie of the week. So it's just
the bare minimum.
Yeah. So we could just do that.
Wait, he's a bear? He's gay? He's in the gay community? Is that what you're saying, Jack? I got to follow them. Anyway. Yeah, that would be funny. Honestly, we'll see. I'm kind of learning this as we go, too. I've spent the last 2 weeks going over setting everything up with the Patreon and making the descriptions and everything like that. So I spent a lot of time kind of learning how it goes. I mean, obviously, I follow and support people, and I've done a lot of research into what other podcasts offer. But just because we're launching, you know, it'll evolve. That will evolve. We won't. But the Patreon page will evolve. In part,
change all the time. You could add stuff to tiers. You can make another tier. It's just,
exactly. There will be more in the future. I mean, I was even reading about the distribution of merchandise, the manufacturing distribution, which Patreon is great about handling. So I was reading about that, and I said, well, I don't think there's a demand for it right now, but when there is, absolutely. And if there are things you want as a Patreon fan, then please let us know. I mean, we throw up some surveys or, ask you, get a conversation going as far as different things you want to see, different things you want us to do, including virtually. I know there's a lot of virtual events people are doing with their fans. And obviously, I'm not opposed to that, but I'm open to suggestions. Not everything is set in stone just because we're launching, but we are launching because people have been asking about it for all of last year. And it was an idea that was kind of in the hopper for 4 years ago when we relaunched The Only Podcast That Matters. So there's a bunch of stuff that I'd collected 4 years ago in anticipation of, well, this is something we'll probably do later in the year. And we didn't. So I have a pile of stuff that is just ready to be loosed on adoring fans. So patreon.com/capepod, go check it out, subscribe. We appreciate your support, and so I know 2020, you know, we don't need to go over all the bad stuff, but no, well, I was honestly just want to ask you guys if there's anything remarkable that happened to you for Christmas or for New Year's. Did you guys get anything cool? Did you do anything cool? I mean, not a lot to do. But is anything interesting?
All right, happened? Who wants to go first? Are you going to raise your hands now?
Actually, we're going to have to do this. Otherwise, it's going to
I'll go first.
Disintegrate real quick. Right. Go ahead, Ryan.
So I found out over the holidays that I am going to be an uncle for the second time. My brother, who lives here in New Jersey, he and his wife are going to be having a baby in July.
Awesome.
Nice. So that's congratulations. Really exciting.
Yeah.
Congrats, man.
Yeah, so that was the big thing for the holiday season this year. Really cool.
And that's it. Okay, everybody, that's Ryan's contribution.
That's about it.
I'm going to be an uncle. And that's okay.
It's not something very to be taken lightly. That's awesome.
Oh, it is awesome.
I mean,
yeah.
I don't know how much there is to say right now. I mean, they're having a baby. I'm going to be an uncle.
There was just no period on the end of the statement. Yeah, like, I'm going to be an uncle. Yeah. So that's cool. Like, congratulations. Moving on. It's like, I'm going to be an uncle.
Yeah.
Anyone else? Jack, what about you? I got fantastic movies for Christmas.
I didn't get any movies for Christmas this year.
You didn't.
It was a roller coaster of emotion.
Yeah. 2020 was a roller coaster.
I got Jabba's Palace. I got some
tickets. I saw a picture. Jack's Christmas haul.
I got a COVID test a couple days before Christmas to make sure I wasn't going to infect anybody because I had a bad job the week before and nobody was wearing their mask at the place I was working at. So I was kind of freaked out.
I got my brain tickled for Christmas.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Yeah. I've done two COVID tests and they're a blast, aren't they?
They're fun.
They're not comfortable.
No.
But kind of piggyback off what Ryan said, I don't know if I actually mentioned this in the show. My younger sister is having a baby. She's having a baby in April. So together, and you know, I'll be an uncle this year too. So
woo!
Awesome. So awesome.
Yeah. Again. You'll be an uncle again. Mm-hmm. Which is cool.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Awesome. Andrew,
and that's
what about
pretty much
you?
It. I'm gonna be an uncle.
Yeah, that's it. Andrew's your sister having a baby? Because if not, we're moving on.
All right. Who here is not going to be an uncle this year?
Well, damn.
We'll just make it easy.
Yeah. Sorry. Don't send us pictures.
Yeah. No.
We'll take your word for it.
Additional family members on this end.
Yeah.
So did you do anything over Christmas, Andrew? No. Slept.
I worked.
Went on Reddit.
To sleep.
That's actually you've been working like a mother.
No,
so.
If the holidays show you one thing, especially when it comes to blue collar jobs, it's how lazy people can get because they want to go home early and supposedly celebrate whatever the holiday is with their family members. When you know that just translates into they want to go home and get drunk.
Dude, that's every job though. Yeah. To be fair, but like, that's every job I've ever had.
It was. So the last 2 weeks, obviously, for my job, we Christmas and New Year's fell on a Friday. So the day before, we tried to get out early. Early for us would be like 1, 2 o'clock in the afternoon. And you just saw that no one came together. They just wanted to do their own thing, finish their route, and go the go home. So,
I mean, can't blame them.
No, I can't blame them, but it's like, come on, guys. Like, there's other guys working here. Can't you help them out?
I'm working
here.
Come
on, guys.
I'm working here.
Come on, guy.
Hey, come on, guy.
Come on, guys.
I'm not your buddy, guy.
Yeah, that was his approach. I'm not your buddy, guy.
Yeah.
I'm going home. You pick up trash. Yeah, kind of the same for me. Spent Christmas with our parents. Well, with my parents, I should say. And then just New Year's, just the two of us, which was... Wow, what a 180. Frankly, it reminded me of New Year's 10 years ago when we were at Andrew and Veronica's, which was remarkable because, as usual, Andrew was in bed at 10 o'clock. Didn't matter that it was New Year's.
Brian and I went to bed at like 12:05.
Like, well, no, we were in our cars by 12:05. That was the funny thing. Andrew kind of slowly does a zombie walk out after midnight, just be like, happy 2011. And then just, and I think,
get out of my house.
Yeah, I don't even think he was that verbal. And yeah, he was just like, yeah, happy, yeah, get out. And yeah, we were in our cars by like 12:04. But that I mean, we should have expected it. Ain't no party like an Andrew party because an Andrew party don't start. So we should have expected it.
We didn't make it to midnight this year at all.
No,
Jen passed out on the couch at like 9:30.
Oh yeah, so. That's right. You sent a photo.
Yeah, I made it to like 10:45, and I was like, I can't do it anymore, and I just passed out. And then at the stroke of midnight, we hear the clanging of pots and pans right outside of our fucking house.
Really?
And, like, jolts Jen out of sleep, and then she woke up, and she was like, hey, what's going on? And we're like,
it's another
like parade of people.
It's a new year.
Yeah, it's a new year. And, I mean, under normal circumstances, I'd be out there with, like, wanting to kill someone, but I'm like, to say goodbye to this year, do whatever the fuck you want.
Totally.
Shoot guns into the air, bang pots and pans, I don't care.
Fireworks.
Yeah, even that. Like, I don't care what you do. Like, I don't blame you.
Yeah, Ryan's
for making
so over
all this
it.
Noise. Yeah. Under any other circumstances, fuck you, but
but this year, I'm happy to be rid of it. Which is funny. Yeah. That's something I wanted to mention because there is a sentiment that a lot of people had, and I get it. I just want to put 2020 behind me, move on to the new year, because it's very rare that you have everybody has a bad day, even a bad week, bad month sometimes, but not a bad year where it's nonstop difficulty for an entire year. And that's basically what it was. And for me, you know, I spent the first 2 months of the year terribly sick, just with a nonstop cough. And then the last month of February, I started feeling better. And then 3 weeks later, everything was locked down. So last year was just a drag for me. And I know it was a drag for a lot of people in a lot of many, many worse ways. So I'm not discounting that, of course. But I get it's easy to take the cynical approach of like, listen, just because the calendar changes doesn't mean your life changes. I get that.
Stepping through a portal. Yeah.
It's not going to cure everything on the first day, but it gives you some sort of optimism that it's like, okay, this can be better.
Right. Well, right. The idea that you could just put the whole year behind you, I do like that. And look, if it motivates people and they say, you know, we've laughed about it in the past, just like, oh, fuck 2013, 2014 is going to be my year, you know, and stuff like that in the past where we've said like, oh, God. Calm down, everybody. All right. One at a time.
It's psychologically satisfying because it's the changeover of a calendar of numbers and things like that. And of course, you know, we're pattern recognition creatures. So that's what we see. You know, or at least for anyone, honestly, that was physically working, it was Friday. You know, like, I'll be honest with you, it was Friday to me because I had to go to work the next day.
Well, your year didn't change either. Like, you kept working because you and your wife were essential services.
Yeah, not as drastically as, like, you know, the three of you guys.
Right.
So, yeah, for me, it was Friday.
Right.
You know, yeah, New Year's, cool, January 1st. Had my grandmother still been alive, it would have been her birthday.
Mm.
But, you know, that on it was no big thing.
And I get that. But like, Ryan, you're not begrudging anybody for being like, good, bring on a new year, bring on something different.
Oh, no.
All this. Yeah. And I know.
Not at all.
And I know. Yeah. You feel the same way. And we've laughed about that.
I'm not going to be any of that like new year, new me bullshit here. But I'm like, I'm glad to see.
Yeah.
I'm just going to be the same. Like,
no, it feels better just knowing that.
It feels better knowing that there's, you know, hope on the horizon and, you know, things will get back to normal. And there is a refreshing aspect of it this time.
Yeah, more so.
It was an entire year of shit, like, and for various reasons.
Yeah. Totally.
And I've heard no one talk about like New Year's resolution. This year, there's no New Year's resolution. It's just like, let's just get on with it and fix this shit and let's move
forward. Well, there was the joke of like, you know, like, oh, new year, new me. No, shut up. Go in quietly. We saw what happened last year.
Yeah. Nobody touch anything. Yeah.
Nothing's changing. Nothing's changing. Here's looking forward to vaccinations and maybe a haircut for me. If you haven't noticed, well, you guys certainly have. I got a ponytail going right now.
Yeah, no,
because
do tell what the haircut plan is.
Well, and after that, I want to talk about the vaccinations for a second. Quick.
Okay. So as of a few days before Christmas, it has been a year since my last haircut. Not for any reason. I mean, in part because, like I said, the beginning of the year, I was sick for the first 2 months, so I wasn't really going anywhere. Missed a bunch of concerts that obviously now I really wish I'd gone to, not knowing when they're going to happen again. But unfortunately, I was sick, so I wasn't going out really anywhere. And then everything shuts down in the middle of March. So didn't get a haircut. Could have, but by the time that stuff kind of opened up around here, I was just like, I don't know. I kind of like having, I haven't had the patience to have longer hair in a while because it does take some effort. As at least three of us have had. Well, Ryan's had it about your chin, right? Just about like maybe your jawline was about as long as your hair got, Ryan. Once upon a time.
About the top of my jawline. Yeah.
So
back in the day.
it does take a little bit of work to maintain and patience to grow and everything, but with nowhere to be and with zero sense of having to do yourself up at all, just kind of didn't really think about it. So that's why when we finally got on Zoom in June, it was like, oh, what's going on? And then we got together in person at the studio in October, and then it was, oh, wow, your hair's getting really long. And I just kind of let it go. And it wasn't that it was going to stay that way open-endedly. But right before we started this show, Andrew and I were doing a mic test for his new microphone, and I'm looking at it, and I'm just saying, wow, I look like a Cocker Spaniel because my hair is dangling down like ears. Because it's kind of been tucked behind my ears. Like, I noticed we watched Once Upon a Time in Mexico for the first time in a long time. And honestly, except for the face, sadly, I kind of almost had a Johnny Depp thing going where he just had his hair kind of combed back behind his ears. And that was kind of his look in that movie. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. That's kind of what I've been channeling. Although there is a funny, I have a bunch of pictures I'm going to put together in a composite because Matthew McConaughey put out an autobiography. So he's been doing a lot of Zoom interviews and his hair kind of looked like mine. And so did Conan O'Brien's. I was like, wow, I've never been compared to these two and I never will be, except we all had the same quarantine hairdo. But I just said, you know what, I'm tired of doing this all the time and kind of, you know, futzing with it, and have, especially with these headphones that wrap around the back of my head, it always ends up kind of curling towards and I keep doing this like I'm being attacked by mosquitoes. And I just don't want that on camera. I don't want that to distract you guys because that's no fun. So I just did this stupid Steven Seagal ponytail. Or Crisp, the villain from Kindergarten Cop. Let's go with that.
Yeah, Crisp.
Did he have a strand? Did he have one of those strands, though, hanging in front of his eye?
Yeah, he did. Yeah,
okay, so I can pull one out and just have it hang there in front of my face, because that won't be annoying. Yeah, just hair poking me in the eye.
Pulp Fiction almost, yeah.
That's right. I didn't even think about that. That's true. It's kind of Travolta length. It's not, it's about to my shoulders. So yeah, I could do Vincent Vega hair if I wanted to. But no, I'm definitely going to get it. I'm going to get it cut short. Shorter. Than it is now. Not super short.
Get your fucking hair, hippie.
Well, Sherry doesn't want me to get it cut as short as like I used to have it now that it has some length to it, but I'm going to get it trimmed back in the nearish future. But today I was just like, you know what? I tie it up like this with one of these just basic hair ties when I shave anyway. So I said, I don't want to deal with this. I really don't. I don't want to look like, maybe if I were cool, if I were really do it up, I could look like Jack Burton in Big Trouble Little China. I could look like 80s Kurt Russell if I really wanted to do it up and look cool. But that sounds like a lot
Jack
of effort.
Jack would jump your bones.
Yeah. Oh, he would.
Yeah.
Jack would be like, I can't make it to the show. And then he shows up and pops into frame next to me like, oh, what are you doing here?
Hey, Kurt.
Yeah, exactly. Hey, Gabriel Cash. Anyway, so that's that. I did have one funny interaction right before Christmas, though, just a couple of days. I had an impulse gift idea for my parents, which was, it kind of shows the dynamic of my family, but my dad's, I mean, look, he's 79, so as far as I'm concerned, he could do what he wants. He wants to start smoking pot now that it's legal, go for it. If he wants to
live,
you know, go whoring, I don't care. Live, I mean, it's like, you made it to 79, congratulations, good for you, let's do what you want. So his indulgence usually would be something like snack cakes. So because I've been doing shopping for them every other week, I've been picking up like Tasty Cake, or, you know, he likes Drake's Devil Dogs and stuff like that. And my mother always gets annoyed with me because I buy him stuff, because her excuse, he doesn't need that. I was like, he doesn't need anything. He's 79. Like, what? I mean, he's his medication. And he needs to make sure you pay the taxes on the house. Otherwise, he doesn't need anything. So, not even you. No, but I, harsh. No, he does. But that's another, that's getting too sweet for my silly story. So anyway, I said, all right, for a little while to kind of soften the blow of me bringing devil dogs to my father, I was getting the fudge covered ones, which are pretty newish. I think I've only seen them in like the last year or two. I know.
Fudge covered devil dogs.
Yeah. They just got like a thin chocolate coating on them.
Is that Marine speak?
No. I mean, it could
what?
Be
devil dogs.
Never and forget it. Just references like that are lost.
Man, what fucking Patreon do you belong to?
You guys
don't
ever
ask, don't tell.
You guys ever see military porn?
Don't tell podcast.
Anyway, so my mother likes those. My father prefers the traditional devil dogs. My father very much likes what he's had all his life. He's not open to new stuff, but he'll eat the devil dogs because it's better than not eating a devil dog. They'll suffer through the thin chocolate coating on the fudge covered devil dogs. So anyway, I said, oh, this will be funny. I will get like his and hers devil dogs for my parents. I'll get a box of fudge covered and a box of regular, and that I'll give one to each of them, you know, so they each have their own devil dogs, which my father's going to eat 90% of anyway, which is fine because he'll love me that much more. And I said, let me pick these up. So anyway, it was a real impulse, like last minute decision. So I popped into a grocery store and it was like an hour before closing. It was one night when I was out and I said, yeah, let me see if I could snag these. I was able to snag one of each. Anyway, so I go up to the cashier to check out for them and it's all I'm buying. So it must have looked pretty funny. And the cashier says to me, oh, you know what it was? It was right before it was going to snow, before like the week before Christmas. You remember that night? So everybody was kind of you know, shopping like crazy and overdoing it because they thought
sandwiches.
We were going to be snowed in. Yeah, the bread and milk.
Milk,
which
milk
is,
and bread sandwich, yeah.
Yeah, exactly. So I it was calm and I was heading home, you know, at that point. So there was nobody really in the store. It was about an hour before closing. And this is all I was getting. And the cashier says like, oh, like, are these all for you? I was like, yeah. Well, I was like, well, for my parents. I was like, they're going to be his and her devil dogs. And she was like, well, they could just be his devil dogs and you could eat them. I said, well, depending how the weather is on the drive home, that may be. And this woman laughed like I just introduced her to comedy. And it was even more, it was even crazier because the store is basically empty. So it's echoing. Like this woman was cackling. Like it was the funniest thing she'd ever heard. And I thought, wow, I didn't really mean it. It was just a, you know, little You're joke like, about the weather tonight.
It's always surprising when little quips just get people.
Oh, totally. Totally.
You know, like for us, like this is our normal conversation. We have to keep up with each other. Mm-hmm. We're going to run over each other. We're going to, you know, smart mouth each other. But then when we go and we deal with the general public, it's like, really?
Some of them aren't like
that's funny. Like that would have gotten nowhere on the show.
Exactly.
Trying to be funny.
Yeah. I was just tossing something off. Sometimes my sister will send me something funny.
Tossing something off.
Oh, huh? Tossing off a line.
Thank you. I wasn't the only one that heard that.
And everyone's muted. Ah, the advantage of virtual shows. The in studio is fun. This is better. I'm in control.
Mute me, you son of a bitch.
Anyway. No, my sister will send me a quote and I'll say like, oh, that's funny. What was that from? And I assume she's quoting a movie or a TV show or somebody's stand-up routine or something. She said, no, you said that. And she's got a whole list of notes of funny things I just threw out there, funny comments in the moment. And I thought, wow, I never would have occurred to me that I said something, but I'll be amused by it later on, which frankly, because I don't remember anything anyway. That's why putting together clip shows was such a joy, because I was like, wow, I remember we did these shows, but these are funny. This show's good. I like this show. Because I never remember really anything once you say it. There's not a whole lot of stuff. You know, we're not doing a routine.
It goes out into the ether.
Yeah. Right. Yeah, so you don't really think about it afterwards.
It all just flows.
It does.
So, but this was funny. This is something I never would have remembered if she didn't just cackle. And that's the only reason I remember all the circumstances, which... You know, if I make you laugh, I'll remember everything about you. But I'm telling you, this it was almost awkward how loud she was laughing. But I was amused by that. And I wouldn't remember it apart from her reaction.
It gets to a point where it's like, are you joking? Like, are you just like screwing with me right now? Because I don't think it was that funny. Like,
totally.
What the hell?
Well, that's it. But for some reason, maybe it was the end of the day and she was just delirious.
Maybe she's had a tough day.
After everybody panicked grocery shopping in advance of what was a significant snowstorm. So. It wasn't
well, for you, somebody else for you guys up north. Like, are these all for you? And she was like, somebody said, fuck you. And then you said that to her.
Yeah. Well, that was
what,
it.
Is that a fat joke?
So he was like, "Are these for you?" I was like, "Ah, for my parents, his and hers devil dogs." And she was, "Well, they could just be his, you know, and you could eat them." And I said, "Well, maybe, depending on the ride home goes." And that was it. Yeah. And boy, did she laugh.
Like a hyena.
Well, I've never met my girlfriend laugh that hard. So anyway, that was.
She's just used to your bullshit now.
Well, that, yeah, it used to be funny. Well, it is. It's incidentally. So that's one of the funny things about 2020 that I thought about in hindsight. Where, as you all know, I've lived in jeans for most of my adult life, and 2020 was the year that I lived in boxers. I just didn't bother wearing jeans because there was nowhere to go, wasn't going out anywhere, and because we were home, it was just boxers.
Wait, so your legs possibly could have gotten color
from what the LED lights inside?
Television.
Yeah, for, yeah,
yeah, from television.
Working on my TV tan. That's it. No, not at all. But because there was nowhere to be, like I was saying, same with the hair. Like it didn't have to get dressed up. And that was, you know, the joke we've been making all through it is everybody's in pajama pants and on the couch and nobody's bothering to get dressed. And
or
it's true.
Half suits.
Yeah. The basketball
like
shorts.
The top half is a blazer and then, you know, boxers.
Well, that's it.
All sitting down.
I haven't
can't
worn
do it.
I'm There's not no wearing motivation. Pants now.
Yeah.
So
like, well,
that's
see.
It. You don't have to. But
oh God.
Unfortunately,
that's Patreon. That's the one.
Yeah, that's the Patreon channel.
Yeah, here's me from the tits
here's
down.
The lower half of that.
Here's what we look like below the frame.
We're gonna have a special video where it's just us all standing up in boxers, and that's how we're talking the entire video.
It'll be. It's like here's what we're wearing under the frame, everybody. Like before the show goes up. Oh, that's another thing about the Patreon. Before I forget, actually, because with YouTube and learning more about it, as I've kind of said. Through the course of the show in the last couple of months since the video episode's been going up regularly. So as I'm learning about things like monetization and with YouTube being more strict in their guidelines, which I find funny that people are so confused about it. Like YouTube as a corporation, they are owned by Google. So it's not just a free-for-all. You could put up anything you want. You still do need to, you know, operate under whatever guidelines there are. It's free to use, but free to use within whatever they say they allow. So considering our episodes could go a little blue, so to speak, because there's a lot of talk about Andrew's dick and various degrees of porn. Yeah. There's not always the opportunity.
Bring it up this time.
You did not this time.
But, never happened.
I mean, you just did. You were just talking about like a Marine Corps swing code. Yeah. So how are we to know? But anyway, the full video episodes will definitely be going up for Patreon subscribers at the $10 tier. So they're not going to be going up on YouTube. There will be clips still going up on YouTube, but full video episodes, I should have mentioned that earlier, will be going up for the Patreon subscribers, the $10 a month nice. Tier, which I can't recall the name of. Sorry. But,
so I wanted to say something about
the vaccine,
coronavirus vaccine. My wife, Veronica, already got it, or she got the first shot because there's two shots.
As a nurse. In case you don't know, we picked up a lot of new listeners. So just if anybody wants to make something of it.
As a nurse.
Veronica's
she
a nurse.
She got her first of the two shots she have to get. First, let me ask, are you three opposed to it?
Stick me right now.
Not at all. I'll take it as soon as it's available to me.
I figured as much. I just want to put it out there for everyone else who's listening that none of us here are opposed to it.
Those are the four things we agree on, the vaccine and circumcision. otherwise, our opinions don't overlap on much.
So you actually do get a certificate, or not really a certificate, but like a card afterwards stating that you got... however many vaccines, like it actually has like a line for like, you know, first vaccine received on such and such date, second vaccine received on, you know, X date.
Right.
So over the weekend, we went to Colts Neck Distilling. Chris, you've been there with us.
Yes.
And we actually had to kind of wait online because they were at capacity. So we're outside and I made the joke to the... I guess you call her a hostess, but the girl who was coming out and just making sure that everyone understood the procedure.
The bar wench.
Bar wench. Yeah, can't call her a hostess anymore. She's just a host.
Yeah, she's just a host.
Yeah.
It's 2021 now, man.
Yeah. Genders are antiquated. She's a host.
Well, yeah, I'm sorry. Sorry.
Devil dogs.
Gender norms are out.
Yeah, ironically, we have to use the masculine form, which is host.
Yeah.
But anyway, go ahead.
Anyway, so you know, she comes out, and I jokingly said, "I'm like, well, do you need to see paperwork? Because she got her shot already. That means she doesn't have to wear a mask or anything." And and she started laughing. She's like, "You actually get paperwork?" And Veronica takes out and goes, "Yeah, we do. We actually are." So what came to my mind is, especially with, you know, the more consistent rollout of the vaccine, and it going to the, as they say, non-essential workers, which is a whole other discussion we can have.
That's a whole argument.
Yeah.
I thoroughly expect businesses, especially privately owned businesses, to start, I don't want to say mandating, but looking for that, you know, like, value your papers.
Sure. Well, why should I?
I've heard a lot of grumbling about that, where, I mean, I don't know if it's set in stone yet or who's considering it, but there's a lot of grumbling that, you know, airlines might require it, sports stadiums, concert venues, anything where there'd be large gatherings, anything like that might require proof that you were vaccinated.
I think
at least for some time.
Right. I think at the very least, it's going to be, if you don't have some form of paperwork, you either have to wear some mask or whatever they recommend, or you're not allowed in. Like, that's the very least.
And if that's not enough motivation for you.
Oh, totally.
Like, yeah.
Not be able to get on a plane or go to a concert or go to a football game if you love football.
Movie theater or anything.
If nothing else, if you want to go anywhere, if this comes to fruition and it's required to get into certain places.
Well, at the same time, I realize.
Even a second thought.
I realize people don't want to deal with anything that isn't just going about their business. But I mean, what are we supposed to do? We haven't had to deal with anything like this in our lifetime. There isn't really a playbook for how we get back into society functioning the way it normally would. Yeah.
Well, there was, but you know how that went.
Well,
there was a playbook.
a bit. Yeah. But as far as like reintegrating everybody into society, because that's going to be the hard part. Getting people to stay at home, way easier by comparison than having to get everybody to go back out again and getting to a point when people are comfortable, whether it's businesses or the general public.
With the other end of the spectrum, the people who were incredibly scared of what was going on, not trusting other people to come out, whether or not they're vaccinated or not. How can I trust if they got vaccinated or not? Yeah. What, do you want us to wear freaking UPCs on our forehead and you got to scare QR codes?
Well, that's it. I think it was in Contagion. I think it was like a wristband kind of thing, like they were in when you're not in the hospital, it has a barcode on it. So he went to go buy a if you didn't see Contagion, I mean, everybody should have in 2020 if you didn't see it 10 years ago. But it at the end of it, he goes to buy a prom dress for his daughter. So to get into the department store, they have to scan him to show that he has the vaccination or that he's immune in whatever way. I forget exactly the ending. We watched it 9 months ago. But yeah, he has to get scanned and able to go into the store. And I get it. What are we supposed to do? Everybody needs to be as cautious as they can, because the whole point of the vaccine, the whole point of social distancing, masks, all that, is to stop spreading it. Because when it stops being spreadable, when people stop getting it, that's when we can carry on. So, you know, if it needs to happen in stages, we got to do it just to get through it.
For a more medical aspect of the vaccine, at least according to anecdotal evidence from my wife, obviously, with any vaccine you get, you will get some kind of negative side effect. Most of the time, it's just, you know, swelling at the injection site, maybe a slight cold or headache or body ache afterwards, right?
Veronica turned into the Incredible Hulk. Something really severe.
So what she has been talking about, at least with her coworkers who also went out and got it done, that it now proved that, as Chris and I spoke about a couple months ago, she definitely did have it when it came out, because to the people that actually did have COVID at like symptoms and whatnot, when they got the vaccine, they had less of an effect from the vaccine. Like people who didn't have COVID got sick, like almost fully sick from the vaccine. Not to make it sound like you shouldn't go out and get it, but it the varying degree of reaction to the vaccine, it seemed to be on the lighter end of for people who had it already than compared to people who didn't have it.
That makes sense.
Or it just could be psychosomatic, where people who didn't have it are like, holy crap, this sucks. And it's really nothing compared to the people that actually did. And God forbid all those people that actually died from it.
You know, well, it's also human chemistry, too. I mean, the same way I know plenty of people who don't get flu shots because they get really, really sick. I've never had any negative effects from a flu shot, so I have no compunction about getting it every year. Because for me, yeah, it'll swell for the day, but the next day, it's like I got nothing.
You know, like an allergy shot or anything else.
Right.
You know? Yeah. Oh, I got a bruise.
Yeah.
My arm was sore for like 2 days when I got the flu shot this year. That was it.
Yeah. Right. I don't really have any effects.
Mild whatever, and that's it. Then I get over it.
So,
yeah, but I get that again, that's not the case for everybody, of course.
Yeah, exactly. And this is, you know, like I said, anecdotal. This is what happened to Veronica. She said for the 2 days that after the 2 days afterwards, very bad body ache, bit of a headache, but nothing that some ibuprofen couldn't, you know, get her over the hump.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Good. Well, I mean, here's hoping. I mean, look, the idea that first it was general public by April, and then because the government, shock of shocks, dropped the ball and didn't order enough, then it was something like June. So I mean, we'll see how it plays out, but yeah, I have no hesitation when it comes to getting the shot, showing a card.
Yeah, I am too.
Yeah, I'm like, totally fine with it.
I'm waiting for my bosses to come down and say, like, all right, on Thursday, you know, x number of guys are going and getting their shots.
Right.
Sign me the fuck up.
Yeah. No, likewise.
I don't care. Go ahead. Do it.
Yeah.
Whatever ends this.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
And yeah, with your situation, Andrew, would they be like, all right, you guys are going to go and then give you the next day off to kind of recoup? And then, or would they just kind of.
No, Andrew doesn't take days off, number one.
Yeah.
Number two, garbage doesn't take a day off. Yeah. So he can't afford to stay home.
Yeah, number two.
Did you ever not see Oscar the Grouch on Sesame Street? Jack, I don't think so.
The problem with what you just did, Jack, is you were logically thinking, and you should know better.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Think about the jobs that you had. Do you think any of the jobs you had would have said, okay, these many people are going to get tested and you can take the day off tomorrow to recuperate?
I mean, maybe it doesn't take everybody to sell buses, but I don't know.
All right. So a couple.
That's my thing on the vaccine. That's all. That's the end of my rant.
Gotcha. Well, no, listen, it's going to be a fact of life in the new year. So it makes sense to address it. I mean, there's a lot of varying opinions on it, but we, you know, on a handful of things, we agree. And in this case, we're like, good, let's do it. Let's get over this. Let's get through it.
Yeah.
You know, I want to
go back to some sense of normality.
Yeah, we want to move on.
It's a goddamn movie in a theater. So that's all.
Actually, speaking of that, I believe it was yesterday. I was in the Freehold area and there were people at the AMC there.
Yeah, they're open.
Like more than just the obvious, you know, employees. The parking lot was not overly packed because I know like Wonder Woman's out and Soul is out in theaters also, I believe, right?
No, Soul is just on Disney Plus. But Wonder Woman is out.
Wonder Woman, yeah.
People wasting their money on that.
HBO Max, have a bad time. They're gonna
Yeah, exactly. I'm not willing to spend $15 to watch it at home. However, I will spend $45 taking my family to a theater. But anyway. Because girl power. There'll be more on Wonder Woman next week, by the way. There's a tease for next week's show.
I still haven't seen it yet.
Well, don't bother. That's the spoiler for next week's show. Next week, don't freaking bother.
Attention.
Really?
Yeah.
Yeah. Watch our show. It's going to be better.
Yeah. We are going to go through the movie in spoilerific fashion because Jack and I will be joined by my friend Ben, who turned it off 1 hour in. So we're going to be talking him through the other hour and a half of the movie. Yes, it's 2.5 hours.
Yes,
and nothing happens in that first hour.
So
yeah, nothing happens in the first hour, except Diana wandering around with somebody who looks like Chris Pine but isn't really Chris Pine. We're gonna get into it next week.
Next week, don't bother.
If you like the first one, let it be. And I'm serious. Yeah. Like, if the things that worked in the first one, they completely abandoned in the second one. And I can say that objectively. Sherry agrees. She was, you know, the first one wasn't her cup of tea.
She was a huge fan of the first one.
No, she wasn't really her cup of tea. Yeah. She was
really.
She was hoping it was going to be better.
I liked the first one a lot, except for the ending. I hate
until the ending. Yeah, yes. that ruined it for me.
Yeah, exactly. It just devolves into the typical DCEU CGI.
Like Zack Snyder, you son of a bitch.
Yeah.
Just like as far as who and what became the villain at the end, suddenly it made no sense.
I was like, are you fucking kidding me?
Right.
I've been so invested in this for
that. I'll agree with.
No, it's totally worth skipping. But we'll get to that next week if you loved it or or hated it, or if you hate us and you want to hear what we have to say about it, then awesome. So that's actually going to be next week's show. I didn't want to get at it right away just because I thought, I know the cool thing is to jump on social media or YouTube and talk about what's happening right now. But I want to give it a little bit of time because not everybody's going to watch it right out of the gate. And if you do watch it, Andrew, you will be amused by the show next week because it's going to be funny.
Yeah, and for that respect, I probably will watch it now. What about Soul? What do you guys think about that? Are you guys going to do a show on
it? I loved it. Well, in 2 weeks, see, now I'm giving up all the Patreon stuff for free, Andrew.
I mean,
thanks
listen,
a lot.
The listeners need something.
Andrew, goddamn.
In 2 weeks, Jack and I are going to run down our the best TV shows, movies, stuff like that of 2020, our favorites. So we're going to do a rundown of that stuff. And yes, I loved Soul personally. I thought it was Pixar is the only studio or that group of people who the creative people at Pixar are the only people who can pull off a story that's that heavy and that light at the same time with as much balance. I know Andrew wasn't as impressed with it as I was, but I love Soul. I highly, highly recommend it. That's definitely on my list.
I was reduced to tears with Toy Story 4, so I'm probably going to expect.
Oh, this get ready to get dusty because it's going to happen.
Really? See, I didn't feel that way at all.
Andrew,
I
mean, Andrew doesn't
Toy
cry
Story,
for anything.
Yes.
So
Toy Story, I'll agree with you. Toy Story like, got to you.
Yeah.
But Soul.
It was embarrassing being in the theater with families, just me. Like, and Noelle, just nothing.
Well, you were the only one who did that prior to the end credits of Rise of Skywalker when the audience burst into tears. But as soon as Han showed up in Rise of Skywalker, you're just...
there's another good segue.
That's par for the course. We're not talking about Mandalorian. Finished? Shut up. I'm muting you.
2 weeks.
Yeah, exactly.
2 weeks. I will bring it up.
All yeah, right.
Still
so I got.
Season, so shut up.
Yeah, oh you're muted. Keep that shit to yourself, Andrew. We're gonna. Yeah, wait 2 weeks. Anyway, I'm glad I can't hear this right now.
Don't unmute him. Don't unmute him.
All right, so
Andrew's got that hair that he can like prick up when he's when he's angry, and it just stays that way.
it's the Conan O'Brien hair.
It is. It's Conan-esque. Almost
that shit is wild.
If you greased it up, you could be full Morrissey too. All right, so there were two funny stories that caught my attention during the year that I wanted to bring up because I feel like they weren't covered as much as they should have been. So I wanted to throw these out there for you guys, and then we will move on to Jack's segment of the show to close everything out. But really quickly, it's a stunner. July 30th of this year, 2 weeks away from turning 60, Sean Penn got married to actress Layla George, who was 28. Nothing that really stands out about that, right? He's going to be 60. He's a famous actor. He's, you know, household name. He's rich. I mean, decent looking guy.
Actor his age isn't David.
Exactly. So he's married. So Madonna, he married a 28-year-old actress, right? Nothing that really stands out about that, except Layla George is daughter of Vincent D'Onofrio, who is 1 year older than Sean Penn. So Sean Penn is now Vincent D'Onofrio's son-in-law. I know it's the look on everybody's face. Isn't that fascinating? Like, why did they get more? Why were more people talking about that?
How did they allow that to happen?
I guess
D'Onofrio is like.
I guess they're
she's
that.
On that
they're that broed up.
Just went full kingpin on that.
Yeah, oh she's my hot. God.
Yeah. Wait, what's she on, Ryan?
Why are you?
This
is
show
daughter.
Animal Kingdom. I believe she's on.
Oh yeah, I remember Dennis Leary's on that show.
He was.
I don't know if he still is. If that show is even still on.
I don't even know if it's still on.
I'm aware of the show.
Bits and pieces.
But I just thought that was really like, your father-in-law is 1 year older than you. That's really interesting.
Yeah.
You know, like they kind of came up at the same time because they're the same age. You know, they both showed up certainly in the 80s. You got Private Pyle and Spicoli and all the other. I mean, Sean Penn did 100 movies in the 80s, but still, I just thought that was fascinating. And not that it's a big deal. I don't care that Sean Penn is now 60 and his wife is 28. I just find it amusing.
Hollywood is par for the course.
Vincent D'Onofrio is his father-in-law, and he's a year older.
That sounds like a movie.
Yeah.
It actually sounds like a movie.
That's just funny to me.
Can I call you dad?
Yeah. Like, I want to know what that conversation was like, even when he was dating, let alone, like, how do we navigate this now that we're in-laws? What do we do?
is funny.
That just tickled me.
And I wonder if they were friends beforehand.
Can I screen share right now? Like, let's see.
Sure,
Andrew. I can't. Host, screen share for a second.
No, don't. It's not his show. Andrew's just crying out for attention.
It's a picture of Sean Penn.
Chris, hit the mute again.
All right. You can share your screen.
And his bride.
And his child bride. No, I'm kidding.
Child bride.
I'm kidding.
It really is, though. Like,
I have a lot of respect for Sean Penn.
Look at that.
So I'm not picking on the guy.
I can't see anything. Oh, there we go.
Like, is Vincent Donner 28-year-old? So yeah. Well, Sean Penn always looks happy. Yeah. I mean, that's. Yeah.
Yeah,
that's
how. I mean, as a 20-year-old woman, you turn around and see Sean. I've always
well, maybe he babysat her, and that's why she's had a long time crush.
So him and Vinny were friends, you know, back in the day, and
hey, your daughter, you know.
I mean, the dynamic of that is fascinating, but just on the surface level, like just because it's superficial doesn't mean it's not interesting. So I just thought it was funny. That like they are now in-laws. That just made me laugh
because
I just would like to have known the conversation. That's all. All right. So September. This is the other funny story.
Okay.
There is a small town in New York State named Swastika, New York. Now, I know that you never heard of it, right?
Okay.
I didn't either. Kind of surprised that nobody's ever heard of it. Well. It was brought up, unsurprisingly, because it's the 21st century, that the name might be a little bit inappropriate, considering, we all know what the swastika is associated with.
You don't say.
But the thing is, you can't tell the townspeople that because they wanted to claim its Sanskrit origins. And not so much that it was co-opted by the Nazis and made their symbol. So what the town council decided to do was they would vote about whether or not to change the name of Swastika, New York. And they unanimously voted to keep it. They kept the name Swastika, New York. The town council talked about it and within 5 minutes decided, nah, it's up to everybody else to understand the Sanskrit origins of this name.
Never mind the tourism is big business there.
I can't imagine. It's like it would be the opposite version of that scene in St. Louis
that goes there.
Yeah.
In Vacation, in the Vacation movie when they go to St. Louis, it would be the opposite of that. It would be roll them up. You know, if a family of color rolled through Swastika, New York, be like, oh, no.
The way you came.
So, yeah. That's one of those things where you think, okay, right. I'm sure you're so tied to the origins of the word swastika. That's so much.
Like,
that, yeah,
been around for 100 years. Do you know how bad this thing is?
The optics don't affect
even
them.
Even his own family members are changing their names or not producing children simply to have it die off.
We
got to end this right here.
it was one of those things that I just thought, wow, why is this not? Again, I heard about this in September and never really heard about it again. And I'm just kind of surprised. Not that I'm not saying they need a cave to public pressure. They should just have some idea.
Fucking sense,
yeah, they need to have some clue
deliberation than 5 minutes
on their own. Yeah, exactly. That these four undoubtedly white guys are sitting there saying, yeah, a council that looks like us is sitting there saying like Swastika, New York. Nah, nothing wrong with it.
So
that sounds like everybody else's problem.
Yeah,
like, you guys want to go get a sandwich?
Yeah, exactly.
I grew up in Swastika. My father grew up in Swastika. Okay. My dad.
I'm going to die in Swastika.
I had to look this up because that's just one of those things that's like, really?
Andrew, you're going to be the Cape News person.
I am.
Because you're constantly busy at this. Or maybe you need to be co-producer.
So it's Swastika, New York is an unincorporated community in the town of Blackbrook, Clinton County, New York.
Ironically, Blackbrook.
Yeah, right?
Mm. They got to change that name, too.
There's also a Swastika, yeah. Ontario.
Beigebrook.
Yeah, Beigebrook.
Swastika on. Is there a Swastika, Ontario?
There's a Swastika, Ontario, yes.
Hmm. Kind of funny that in the internet and social media age, we never heard. I didn't hear about this till I heard the story in September that there was a town called Swastika or community called Swastika.
I didn't hear about this till just now.
According to the history,
8 years old.
There was a post office in Swastika, New York that operated from 1913 to 1958. Look at that time period. And you don't think that you would turn around in that time period and say, you know what?
Yeah. At 1958, well after World War II is over.
Yeah.
Nobody thought,
Yeah.
Don't know about this.
A post office called Swastika, New York operated from 1913 until 1958. Edward Dupree, the town's last postmaster, told the Plattsburgh Press Republican, that the community was previously known as Goodrich Mills.
Okay.
The government sent a list of names. It had nothing to do with the community. It was just the name for the post office. Then change the fucking name.
Yes. Right. I don't know. Ridiculous.
I got nothing.
Honestly, like, what can you say about it? I'm just surprised it's something that we, not that the story itself wasn't covered, although really considering all the phony outrage, you would think there might be some semi-legitimate outrage over a town that's proudly
over something like that.
Yeah, like going to stick with the name swastika. But I was just surprised that I never even heard of this before. Just the way everything just literally overnight, literally, will just turn into a thing. And there will be this huge public outcry about something. And I was just surprised this story kind of like, I heard about it the day after this vote, and that was it. So it just kind of tickled me. That also there are that many people who are tone deaf, even just four of them, who are like, this isn't our best interest. Everybody else can figure it out. The fact that they know a swastika from something horrible is not our problem. that's ridiculous. So anyway, moving on to equally or more so sad news. Jack is going to recap the celebrities we lost in 2020 to take us home. Now, we talked about a bunch in bits and pieces.
Yeah,
Jack and I talked about...
We did some tribute shows. Eddie Van Halen, Chadwick Boseman.
We talked about Kobe Bryant, Terry Jones, Neil Peart. Yeah. I talked about Adam Schlesinger from Fountains of Wayne. So we have talked about people during the year, but there have been a lot.
Jack, since you're discussing celebrities, is this going to include... former wrestling stars also.
Oh, I'm touching on that. Absolutely.
They're at the top of the list.
After this fucking past week. Oh God. Yeah. So celebrity wise, I mean, just famous people, Ruth Bader Ginsburg passed away this year.
Yeah.
And you know, people who, it just seemed like it was a weird mix of people who died that were like long-term icons. And then people who were just taken way too soon. So we talked about Kobe Bryant. We talked about Chadwick Boseman way too soon. And it was, you know, different circumstances. I mean, Kobe Bryant was in a horrific accident with his daughter, Chadwick Boseman, like we said, long-term battle cancer that it still to this, it kind of pisses me off that even when somebody's sick, and I'll touch on this later with another person I want to address, like, how come we didn't know he was sick? Because it's none of your fucking business.
Yeah. Oh, God. Yeah. A lot of that with Eddie Van Halen, too. Well, why didn't they say anything? Yeah. Because none of your fucking business.
Yeah. But as far as like long-term icons, one that really hit me hard, Regis Philbin. I've been a fan of Regis since I was an infant. So my mom used to have like Regis and Kathy Lee on every single day. And I don't know. It hit me pretty hard. Alex Trebek was another one.
Mm.
Right, yeah, that's a tough one too.
Yeah, fixtures on television. I mean, Regis has been on TV.
Grew up with these people.
Totally. Yeah. And not just us, like generations after us. Yeah, it's not like it's from our era and then they were gone.
Here's a callback for at least three of us in this podcast. Mrs. Bryce met and was on the game show.
Yeah, she was on Jeopardy.
So she actually had firsthand. She's probably up there yelling at him right now.
Yeah, our English teacher. It's like, you think you know everything? I know you're reading off cards. We know everything. The contestants, we're the ones who know shit. How dare you? No, I'm kidding. Yeah. I mean, Regis Philbin, more hours on television than anybody.
And the nicest dude. The nicest, the sweetest.
Yeah, that's what you hear. I don't hear any bad Regis stories. Like Regis left a 5% tip. Regis left me 50 cents on a $600 dinner bill. You know, you never hear that story.
I used to love with him, and like Letterman would just like make fun of Regis, but like he would do it like so, like he wouldn't pick on him. He would just like call him up and like prank call him or something, and Regis would like get on the phone and be like, oh yeah, Dave. And he just like hang up on him or something like that. So
yeah,
I loved.
He was
a good sport.
He was a staple on that show on Letterman. And also lived in the same building as Howard Stern. So Howard was always telling Regis stories about bumping into him and funny stuff and, you know, the elevator and little exchanges they had in the building. So he had a lot of funny stories about Regis as well.
Yeah, he was always a good sport. And Sean Connery, another one.
Sean Connery.
Indeed. Another one quietly. And there's a person who, because obviously this stuff resurfaces when someone's in the news, someone who... was controversial in as much as I know my mother never liked Sean Connery after he did that. I believe was it the Barbara Walters interview around 1980?
Yeah, I watched that the other night. She was watching a bunch of like old interviews.
That clip was circulating after he died.
Which was this?
He said it's okay to slap women around once in a while. Something like that. And that is that put a lot of people off, including my mother, who was just like, you know, he's an idiot. He's a jerk. Like after that, she was just not cool with Sean Connery. Vastly prefers Daniel Craig as Bond. Based on watching the last four movies with her. But that's one where you can hate the person, but you can respect their talent and their art.
Mm-hmm. And the legacy he left.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, you could hate that that's the way he feels about something, but you can also, I hope, separate that.
Noelle was watching that the other night, and it was completely taken out of context, because she kept grilling him, do you take your female friends to play golf? I was like, no, I like to play golf with my male friends. Like, she made him look like a chauvinistic asshole, and he's not. He just had an opinion about something.
He was also a national treasure for Scotland.
Totally.
Yeah.
Seriously,
well, also of a
all
certain
the things that he did pro Scotland, he was very much a hero to just those people in general.
He was. He definitely went out of his way to advance Scotland or give Scotland a higher and more positive profile. He definitely did. Absolutely. He was a very proud Scotsman. But at the same time, from a certain generation, and I'm not saying it's okay. It's like people this year digging up John Wayne interviews with some things he said that were racist or anti-Semitic. It's like he's been dead for 35 years. Who cares?
Yeah.
Like, doesn't matter what John Wayne said. Yeah, who gives a fuck? I'm canceling John Wayne. You weren't watching John Wayne movies.
It's a snapshot of the period.
It totally is. Right. Like, well, that's the funny. I can't remember whose stand-up special. I don't remember if it was Chappelle or if it was Jim Jeffries who was saying, like, right, your generation is the most progressive that's ever come, just like every other generation before you. What a surprise. Sean Connery, who's in his 90s, had certain feelings about women. Okay, fine. He's dead. It doesn't matter right now. We don't feel that way now.
You don't need to cancel him now.
Exactly. Yeah. At this point, it does no good.
Because it was one individual doesn't mean it was an entire, we're still doing this.
Right.
Like,
yeah. Well, it was a mindset of the time. You know what? And that's the point. It's a bygone era. So don't.
Yeah, John Connery is over party.
Oh, God.
Yeah. I'll still salute the man, though.
I love
Scotland forever.
Please. That's a blip on the radar. That's nothing in even defines his career. He was an awesome actor.
Of course.
He was everywhere when we were kids. Like, I didn't know who James Bond was, but I knew Bond, I knew Sean Connery.
Yeah. So, yeah, for sure.
In some capacity, he was there. So he's always been around.
Yeah.
We talked about a couple of icons and ironically my phone just died with my list, but I have a couple people I can talk about. So,
who off the top of your head do you remember? Who stands out? That's the real litmus test.
Before this.
Shut up, Ryan. A couple weeks ago we lost David Prowse and Jeremy Bullock from Star Wars fame, who played Darth Vader and Boba Fett.
Yes.
So I actually met Jeremy Bullock in 1997 at a convention. So he was just really nice guy. And from what I can remember, he was really cool. Signed an autograph. I still have it. Just a lot of people who just got older, passed away. And again, younger people who died too. We just actually lost a couple days ago, the one who played Marianne from Gilligan's Island.
Yeah.
And due to COVID, unfortunately. So.
Yeah. And Larry King's in the hospital right now with COVID as well.
Is he really?
Oh, wow. Yeah. Yo, you guys didn't know that? Yeah, he's in his 90s.
No, I didn't hear that at all. Mm.
Yeah, unfortunately. That was last night.
Circling back.
You'll see it on Reddit tomorrow, Andrew.
I probably will. Circling back, Jack, the actor who played Darth Vader, who physically played Darth Vader.
David Prowse, who we just mentioned?
Listen.
Andrew just zoned out. Andrew just went somewhere else.
Obviously, the big thing that was circling around when he passed was that he actually did all of the lines during the filming.
Yeah.
And I mean, how could you not in that respect? Like, how could you just remain mute for something like that just for the other actor's sake?
Yeah.
So they know what to bounce off of.
Yeah. Yeah.
But as hard as it is to say, like, no, James Earl Jones needed to be that voice.
Yeah. There's no point. There's no argument.
Not the same. Like, as much as he was an imposing figure, physically, the voice didn't do it justice.
Yeah. I do think he should have been, at the end of Return of the Jedi, the one who had his mask.
Yes.
When Vader's helmet was revealed.
Yeah.
Him and Lucas had a falling out over... There was an article that came out around 1979 that David Prowse guessed, like, oh, I guess what would be funny would be if Luke's father was Darth Vader. And, like, that just was like, that's the plot of the next movie. He's like, I didn't read anything. I just thought it would be a cool idea. And he went to the press a lot to talk about the newest Star Wars movie. And him and Lucas had bad blood. So that's why he was kind of shut out of Return of the Jedi. And Sebastian Shaw was the older man who was Vader's
revealed. Who was revealed
physical
as
look
Vader.
Of Vader when he
Yeah, so I do feel that was kind of, it's a shame because he wasn't even allowed at like Celebration. He was like blacklisted.
Oh, really?
Oh, yeah. God, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's like whatever George's will before he sold this thing is still intact.
They're still carrying it out?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, that sucks.
David Prowse, no original versions of the movie. Yeah.
Man.
You'll never
no
see
original version of the movie.
Well, the original theatrical version.
The original trilogy. trilogy there will never be released as far as George Lucas is living and breathing and has heirs. So
I did not know that.
Yeah, that because if they had that, they one Disney would be like, we're going to release this on October 31st, 2012. November 1st, 2012. The non-altered edition.
The unaltered, yeah. The
fucking
less CGI edition. Creatures.
Yeah. The original prints will, yeah, they'll never be
out. A low-rent Sarlacc pit will be yours once again.
Yes.
And I'd be down for that because there's a kitsch factor.
Oh, I want to see them so badly. You have no idea.
It'll happen. One of these days it's going to happen.
Luckily,
because
I still have VHS.
Not as far as I'm breathing, motherfucker.
Yeah, exactly. But you know what? His heirs can be bought off. Everybody has their price, as we found out in 2020 with the launch of millions of OnlyFans accounts. Everybody has their price. So yeah. Don't worry.
I saw the struggle there, Chris. I know you didn't want to mention that.
I've tried. Well, you know, this part will get removed for YouTube's sake now. But
Right.
That's exactly it. Like, they'll sell. They, you know, especially because I think he cut them out. I think he said they're not really in his will anyway. I think he said, like, no, my kids aren't getting my money. So they're like, well, I'm going to make my own money off your back, Dad. Like, yeah. Over my dead body. Exactly.
Him and Spielberg and Bill Gates are definitely those fathers where they're not, the kids are not getting.
They're not trust fund babies.
No.
Yeah, no, not at all. I don't know. I respect that. I do. Yeah,
I agree. It's in the I earn this.
Well, it's also
sure, I'll help you.
But his kids, Lucas's kids, help out. I saw his son and I think his daughter's names in the credits of The Mandalorian, if I'm not mistaken. Like they have they work some.
Well, I mean,
some capacity.
Good for them. But like the idea that your father, whom or parent in general, is this incredible director, actor, whomever, whatever they do, the idea that you're just gonna ride their coattails essentially is wrong.
Yeah.
Well, it's also that's also ruin your life money. The amount of money that they have. Yeah, forget it. Like, you can't leave that to your kids because they will do nothing. Look at the look at the Hilton grandchildren. I rest my case. So, you know, I mean, they made a very public case for, you know what?
Why you don't do this.
Yeah. Don't do this for your kids. Make them earn something on their own. Feel free to get them their first car.
Help them.
And that's
help them.
Help them.
Let
totally.
Them, you know.
But they got it. They got
to
prove
it. Get them into a college or something, but and not through false means. But
not through photoshopping them on the kayak team or whatever the fuck those parents did in the USC scandal.
Damn it.
That wasn't this year's news.
I'm waiting for the second part of that sentence. The things I would do to you.
Oh, without a doubt, even still. God damn.
You could put me on a 4-year university, huh? I'll just tell you.
So we also lost one of our favorites, you know, Chris and Jacko. Wilford Brimley passed away in 2020.
Did he?
He did.
I didn't hear about this.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of, I know.
One,
I know.
One of the mustache trio. The big three for mustaches. Wilford Brimley, Tom Selleck, and Sam Elliott. One of the mustache trio has fallen.
Yeah.
It's sorry to see it happen. But
Keepers of mustache. Yeah.
That was one of our great memories was going to see the first time we went and saw the Late Late Show with Craig Ferguson when we went to California together. Christ, almost 10 years ago.
Almost 10 years.
August of 2011. And that's where they kicked off a long running Wilford Brimley joke. So much so that in November when Wilford Brimley was on the show, we had like a watch party at Ryan's house. Before watch parties were a thing. We're sat in Ryan's parents' living room at 12:30, like, it's tonight. Like a bunch of modern day BTS fangirls. We're sitting there just like, Wilford Brimley's on Craig today.
We've been waiting all the whole year for this.
We actually got him on the show.
We've been waiting for months. Wilford Brimley's here. And he was just as exuberant and hilarious as you'd expect. No, he was actually very like quiet and discreet. Didn't have to say that.
Well, thank you.
Just grunts.
That wasn't me at the salad bar.
But man, could that guy work a mouth organ? And I mean harmonica.
Yeah.
As he proved. If you haven't seen Wilford Brimley on Craig Ferguson, go to YouTube, look that up. That's our PSA for the beginning of 2021.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Bring some joy into your life.
Watch the whole story of how it unfolds.
Oh, God. I hope somebody has that as a compilation on YouTube. I really do. Because, the joke kicked off because Craig said he saw Wilford Brimley at a grocery store, which turns out wasn't him because his wife snapped a picture. And upon further inspection, it actually wasn't Wilford Brimley. But it started this whole joke on the show where Jeff, the robot sidekick, started doing Wilford Brimley impressions, which was a staple for 3 months up until Wilford Brimley went on the show and then beyond. It was just a long-running joke. And because it was such a joke, it was a repeated joke, I should say, a running joke on the only podcast that matters, the diabetes and all of that thing, that the internet is, done nothing but have fun with in, the decades since those ads aired on TV. But that was kind of a running gag for us. So the fact that
and
we were
the
sitting there,
memes that emerged, probably
with the walrus.
Or she told me to give her the D, so I gave her diabetes. You know, memes like that, which are just priceless. Andrew's looking them up now. Can I share my screen?
Yep. Share, share away.
Andrew's like, here's my favorite Wilford Brimley meme. there are a bunch of great.
Actually, I was looking up, making sure that someone on YouTube made a
compilation
appropriate Wilford Brimley thing, and they did. They made the entire, as they call it, saga of Wilford Brimley and Craig Ferguson.
Oh, amazing. All right. Well, that's your watching. In fact, I'm going to do you one better. I'm going to embed it in the post on this show. So if you guys go to chrisabal.com and you find the Kate 148 post, I will embed that video in this post so you can go right to it. So go to the website and check it out. And it's funny. I forgot about that one. Unfortunately, with all the heft of 2020, I'd actually forgotten about Wilford Brimley. So I'm glad you brought that up, Ryan. No thanks to Jack's phone dying. So
yeah, I don't remember all of them too. I had to look at a list too, and I was like, who else died? I know there were so many more.
It's so funny.
I remember.
I took a picture of like Time Magazine or something, the cover, which, you know, with people who had passed for the year, and I'd send it to Jack like, oh, here's a good reference point for you, and I can't find the photo myself. So this is
We got all the major.
The segment's dying as well. But
and Kelly Preston.
Oh, Kelly Preston, yeah.
You were the first person I thought of when that happened. Like, oh my God, Ryan's gonna be fucking
me too.
Depressed.
God.
Yeah, I knew that was gonna be a heartbreaker.
The moments when I was a kid, when I saw her in Twins, I fell in love immediately, and I was like 5.
Yeah, that's about right.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. Yeah, around the time Twins came out.
Way too young.
Totally.
Yeah.
Yeah, I agree with you.
And again, someone who we didn't know was sick.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody knew.
Quietly.
Yeah.
And understandably. We've talked about that before, but I just
hate that with like celebrity. Well, how come we didn't know? There's launched 1,000 clickbait articles. Why wouldn't people know about people being sick? It's like, because it's not
your fucking business. Not owed an explanation.
Yeah.
You're not.
No, just because they're famous doesn't mean you have to know everything about their life.
But that's how wide the pendulum swings when it comes to celebrity, because there are people on Instagram who share every friggin' day of their life, no matter how uninteresting it is, and will share every aspect of their life. And then there are people who actually maintain some kind of privacy, even though they're a public figure. But we expect complete transparency from every single celebrity, public figure, and whatnot.
You know,
and we're not entitled to it.
Chadwick Boseman, he's definitely one of those ones where you didn't know a damn thing that was going on until he passed.
Nobody knew.
And in the same vein, Maggie Smith, although she's still alive, obviously, but during the
Harry
Potter
filmings, prematurely burying Maggie Smith?
Yeah. Absolutely not.
No, McGonagall must live.
I was just saying, commenting like during the filming of the Harry Potter movies, she was battling cancer.
Mm-hmm.
So, you didn't know,
right?
Not until the extras came out and the movies came out on DVD or something did you find out from the directors, not even from her, that during takes she would be sitting there suffering, but still putting on this excellent show.
Yeah,
and here's
and
hoping
about that with the Chadwick Boseman episode.
What
he made while being sick, Black Panther, the two,
Infinity
War, Endgame. Being featured, just like the movies that he made,
going and visiting children that could be suffering from the same disease he was,
right?
Worse than him,
nobody knew.
And
puts things in perspective. Impossible. I mean, you're dealing with a kid who's terminal and you're terminal yourself, you're like, at least I made it 43 years. I mean, I know that's not a comfort, but you're looking for, in the stages of denial, acceptance, what is it, the stages of
stages of grief.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Then there's the perspective where I know we've talked about death and everything in previous shows. Check out Deathcast from the only podcast that matters. But there was, there is the point where you would almost want to have that acknowledgement as opposed to just, lights out when you're asleep and not knowing anything. Having the acceptance and having some kind of closure to mentally be in a place where you can accept that.
All right. Save existential cast for you and I.
I want to talk more about soul and how it didn't mean anything. Okay. Okay, Andrew. Calm down.
Call of the void. Man.
Another
call
thing that didn't
void.
Make me cry. Call of the. Yeah, Andrew has the call of the void. We're going to get. There'll be more explorations of mental health. Although, call of the void is, I don't know. I think you made that up just because it sounds metal. It's like, call the void. I have a feeling you made that up, but I don't know. Somebody's got a Reddit thread about it on Google. Somewhere.
A Reddit thread
on the internet,
about it
rather.
On Google.
Yeah. Well, yes. Okay. Well, listen, they can't all be winners. Anyway, that's clearly a sign. It's time to wrap up the show. No, really. Do you have any more, Jack?
Segment. Yeah. It's a couple more. Just like
Jack plugged in his phone, so now we're back, everybody.
Yeah.
Here comes another 10 minutes.
Said before with the wrestling thing, because I'm a fan. And
yes, the wrestlers. Lest we forget.
Howard Finkel passed away this past year. Legendary ring announcer. Pat Patterson, who was a creative mind and Vince's right-hand man, passed away. But the saddest ones were also Tiny Lister, who was also in wrestling. Who starred in Friday, was another person who passed away. He was a professional.
And the Dark Knight. Sherry's neighbor, too. Mm. Lived in Sherry's neighborhood. Oh, yeah. She's known him forever.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh,
oh yeah. I can't remember. Oh, my God. I'm so terrible today. This is, see, we're not recording any shows in the afternoon anymore because my brain is not up and running. I'm much more better. I'm much more better at night. See, there's proof.
You just wake up
before
this.
Yeah, pretty much. I'm like, Andrew, can we hear the mic? Well, to be fair, the sun didn't come up today, so it was also a little easier to stay asleep.
Yeah.
It was just dark all day long. It's kind of weird. I hope that's not a sign. But yeah, he did. He actually was in her neighborhood, never really left. I was always hoping to bump into the dude when I'd be down there. I'm like, oh, hey, I can't remember his name and the character on Friday. Andrew, look it up. So we could get to it in 6 minutes when when Jack rattles off some more wrestlers.
Yeah. Road Warrior, Joe Laurinaitis, who used to be Road Warrior Animal. So both the Road Warriors have passed on now. And
Didn't hear about that one.
Oh, yeah. Back in September, he passed away.
Oh.
And the two saddest ones were two young guys. One, Shad Gaspard. I don't know if you heard about this.
Sounds like a German swear.
Crime Time. Remember them, Andrew?
Yes, I remember. I remember Crime
His
Time.
His story. He was he lived in California, out swimming in the sun in the Pacific Ocean, and then they got caught in a rip current.
Yes.
Oh, I did hear the story. Yeah, I heard about this.
That was really tragic. But he kind of was viewed as a hero of like he saved his son first and put his son first before everything. But the one that hit me the hardest this past week of any death was John Huber, who was known as Luke Harper in WWE, and his name is Brody Lee for years prior to WWE and post WWE and AEW. Died at 41 years old of pneumonia,
something like that.
It wasn't COVID, but God, it was so fucking heart wrenching for fans all
because
week.
He had a huge following even within the wrestling community of not just the fact that they worked with him, but because of him being such a family man.
Yes. He loves his family. It was very blatant
that he was doing this job to support his family because he loved them so much.
Yeah. And this past week on TV, they had a big tribute for him. It was amazing. It was the death that hit me the hardest this year, but it was the most like unbelievable celebratory thing I could ever. It's hard to put into words, but it was the one that impacted me the most this year, John Huber. So that's it for people who passed away. Let's not have this wedding this year, please.
Yeah.
Anywhere.
Yeah, we need Maggie Smith for Sister Act 3, so let's not make that happen this year, please.
Oh my God.
So she could come back. Well, she was. That was my introduction to Dame Maggie Smith, Sister Act. Go figure.
Exactly.
That's an indicator of my age. Yeah, watch Tea with the Dames on Hulu. I'm going to recommend that. Sherry was just gleeful during the hour and a half. It's her, Judi Dench. Oh, God, who are the other two? I forget. But it's literally, it's four English dames.
Tea with the Dames.
Tea with the Dames, I believe, is what it's called.
It's
on Hulu, or it's available. If you don't have Hulu, rent it wherever. But it is really interesting. These women who've come through, you know, we're leading ladies in many respects and have had these long careers. Really, really fascinating. And just basically anything British will get my attention. So I was like, I'm down for this. And it was really good. It was a really cool explanation of these women who've been at it for decades. But that's a good one. And of course, if you want more hot wrestling talk, subscribe to the Patreon at patreon.com/kpod. Jack may do a supplemental show. That'd be fun. That could be worth a few bucks.
I'll join you, Jack. Even with my limited knowledge, I'll definitely join you.
maybe that'll be a live stream. I mean, that's another thing, by the way. I should have mentioned that at the top. So thank you to everybody who's come on board with the show. After the 2020 Half in the Bag Holiday Spectacular, we had a lot of live viewers and gained a lot of subscribers after that show. So thank you very much for that. Yeah, we love you. And we had so much fun doing it. That's going to be a semi-regular thing, not like monthly, but maybe and we'll muzzle Andrew so that way he doesn't get like, oh my god, and we're also gonna lock
mute button.
Yeah, so he's not yelling over everybody.
They're gonna keep the whiskey away from me
with every comment while texting. Not only is he yelling at the people who are live commenting, he's also texting the entire time. We're probably the same people. So, but no, we like doing the live stream. That'll be another thing. We could do it virtually as well, but in studio with all of us in the room is obviously a lot of fun. Mm-hmm. And that will be another thing. And probably do some exclusive live streams as well for the Patreon subscribers, because it's worth it. And hey, because you demanded it. I've been asked about that for months, so happy to finally launch it. I know it's been talked about since, I think, September, but I really want to make sure I knew enough about it and that everything was right before launching it. I didn't want to just put it out there and also not be able to fulfill it, too, because that's the other thing you hear about people who bailed on Patreons because people couldn't fulfill, like, posting the exclusive stuff. But after another 4 months of accumulating extra nonsense, there's a lot more to be shared with everybody. So that's definitely a big push for that. So, yes, patreon.com/capepod. And if you want more of these guys individually, you can follow Andrew on Instagram @metal_drew. You can follow Jack on Twitter @JackWagon85 and on Instagram @JacksonFigure1985. You can follow Ryan on Instagram @HoneyIDrunkTheBeers. And you can follow me on Twitter @ChrisAbalo and on Instagram @ChrisSellsOut. And follow the show @CapePod on Twitter and Instagram for all of your show needs. And of course, subscribe to the YouTube channel. Look up Chris Abalo's podcast experiment or Half Ass Media. All the links @ChrisAbalo.com. And also follow A Shared Universe on Twitter and Instagram and YouTube, because they will still be handling the remote shows as well. They will still be twiddling the knobs and running the screens and all that good stuff while we're doing the show remotely. Yes, exactly.
It's been fun.
Yeah. Oh, and it will continue. We are just getting started there. We're like the clap. We don't go away so easily. So we will be there.
That's true.
We'll be there a lot.
For us.
You're not exactly.
They got their head in their hands right now. Like, God damn it.
We're resistant to antibiotics.
Yeah. We
pretty much.
Plus, you keep giving out free alcohol, then, you know, it's a couple.
Hey, you got two of us.
Yeah, at least two of them are going to keep showing up. Then there's me who rolls in and is like, I got a funny show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm just going to record these alcoholics over here.
Exactly. The black sheep at another studio. Which was one of the funny parts about that.
I've been drinking a lot of like DiSerrano and Gentleman Jack this holiday season, so I might be joining the two of you for some.
Come to the dark side,
Gentleman
Jack.
Jack
we're here.
Huh? Yeah, right.
That's you, Jack. You are the gentleman.
You are a gentleman,
especially
that's his new nickname.
Especially with that beard.
Change his name on this screen. It's Gentleman Jack now.
Gentleman Jack.
Yeah, can you curl that mustache?
I might
can
not. It's coming soon. Yeah,
do that, and we got to get you one of those like brim hats that. The middle-aged guys wear.
I will.
Andrew can provide me the brim hat.
There you go.
Got him.
Yeah, Andrew's got fashion sense because, well, he does. Check out that hairdo and you'll know.
Yeah.
He's serious about it. So, anyway, that's it. Please subscribe, share, like, follow, all that stuff. Twitter, Instagram is a Facebook page, obviously. And the Patreon, we appreciate your support because there's a lot more stuff coming. And next week, a spoilerific discussion of Wonder Woman 1984. Or WW84, the 83rd or 84th Wonder Woman movie, I guess it would be. Wonder Woman 84, everybody. We've had 83 others. Now it's time to review this one.
And in 84 minutes, but it's...
Oh, God. If it was 84 minutes, it might have been more palatable. But more on that next week. So make sure you like, subscribe, follow, all that good stuff. And we'll see you then. So until next time, for Andrew, Jack, and Ryan, this is Chris Abalo, and this was yet another... experiment.
I can't do it. I gotta go. Let's go.
Sorry, bro. We gotta go.